Well, good morning, First Service. Go ahead and be seated. Welcome back to those of you who are just coming back. This is your first Sunday. We're glad to have you. We're so thankful that our children's church is back open, and God willing, it will stay open, and we'll be able to continue to minister to everybody at their age. We're looking forward to starting our junior high and our senior high combined study at Second Service. If you're in that age group, if that's your the level of age that you are in, you can stay for second. The youth, the high school group, the junior high, they'll meet in the cafe. And Cameron Knob, who does our junior high ministry, he'll be teaching 1 week, and he'll be alternating with Michael Rivoli, who just led us in worship. They'll kind of go back and forth. He leads our high school group. And so it's a great opportunity for those of you who are new, or for those of you who've not yet come on a Friday evening or a Wednesday evening to their Bible studies. It's a way for you to get to know these guys and to sit with them, their wives, and receive the word. Again, just at an age-appropriate level, we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. For those of you on the lawn, greetings. We're glad that we still have the nice weather to have service outside. And for those of you still streaming at home, we miss you. We can't wait to see you. And we're just excited that the Lord's allowed us to have this technology, that literally this word can go across the globe as he sees fit. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to handle just verse 18 and 19 this morning. I'm going to call my message The Christian's Punch List Part 5. And it's just because I have no other titles I can come up with right now. So we're just going to keep parting this. No, but in all reality, it's just, it flows. This is still the theme of where we're going here. And then God willing, next week, we'll finish the book of Hebrews. And so we'll handle the remaining. I want to read all of these verses that remain. It's one closing benediction. I want to read them all to you in totality. And then we'll come back through and hit verses 18 and 19 and deal with the subject matter of prayer this morning. One quick last thing before we get into God's word. I want to tell you this. We're still continuing to try to balance the tension of what's going on with COVID-19. And I'm in touch with a lot of health officials, Monroe County sheriffs. I talked to the folks who are overseeing the college at Roberts Wesleyan. I got a lot of intelligence that I'm seeking counsel from outside of those that are here in this fellowship. And we do want to continue to take the matter seriously as a church. There's a lot of us gathered here together. So we do want to ask that you would bring a face covering to wear when you can't socially distance. I understand some of you are super opposed to those things. As long as you're socially distanced and you're seated, that's a different story. But if we're on top of each other and we're close together, there is a second wind that is moving through the area, I've been told. And how severe it is or why it's coming through, I don't know those things. I'm just doing my obligation as an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ to watch over the flock. So we're taking it seriously. Health officials have advised us to, check the temperatures of those who are working with children. I think that should bless you, that we're doing that to make sure that, the people working with your kids, that they're, if there's any germs and stuff, anything that we can prevent. I understand what the skeptic will say. Well, it doesn't mean that just because you check the temperature. I know all of these things. But we're doing what we can do, and then we're trusting God to do the rest. And we're doing it for you because we love you. So I hope it blesses you and that you're encouraged. Just felt led to say that. We want to continue to love each other. I'm watching on Twitter and these different things. I see some pastors who are just totally dismissing the whole situation. Then I see other guys who are just instilling fear in the congregation. There's a balance, right? There's a balance. So let's just maintain. That's always been the Calvary way. Safety is in the balance. It's God's word. That's what it says in Proverbs. So without any further ado, let me read to you this beautiful portion of Scripture. Beginning here in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, pray for us. He says, pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beg you, he says, I beg you rather to do this, that I might be restored to you the sooner. Now, this is for next week, but I thought it would wash over us this morning. We need it. Now, the God of peace, we need that. The peace of God, right? Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. He says, and I beg you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter to you in a few words. He calls this letter a few words. It's got to be Paul. He says, know ye that our brother Timothy has set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all of them that have the rule over you and all of the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. And again he says, amen. So Lord, we thank you for your word. This is the word of the Lord and we receive it this morning. We're thankful for the finality of the Christian's punch list. Lord, this closing study of this subject matter, of things that we are to move through, God, in our lives, if we're seeking to be upright before you, intimate with you, things that, Lord, we're supposed to be saying, God, are we doing these things? Strengthen these things in our lives. Increase these things in our lives. Lord, work these things in our lives. They're spiritual things. And the natural man, God, doesn't want to do the spiritual things that your word asks of us. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you today, not just into this room, but into our beings, God, to strengthen us, God, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, to be doers, not hearers only, of these clear principles that your word lays out for us as followers of Christ. So help our minds to focus in now, Lord, as we worship you in truth. Direct my words, God, and let there be great fruit from this message. Bring us now to a place of peace and rest, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the first time in the letter, I don't know if you've noticed, but for the first time here, whoever the writer is, and I know it's leaked throughout the study and it just leaked again in my reading initially here, but I believe it's the Apostle Paul for many reasons. It doesn't matter who the physical writer is. It's the Holy Spirit who's the inspirer behind the pen. Whoever's penning these things, they're all the heart of God. But whoever this person is that's physically scripting these words that are before us this morning, for the first time in the letter, the writer speaks of himself personally, individually. I don't know if you caught that, but he hasn't really spoken about himself at all. He's dominated the whole way through. The writer is dominated by this deep knowledge of the Lord. I've been impressed. He's got a deep knowledge of the Lord. He's got a deep knowledge of Scripture. He's got a strong love for the Lord and a really great love for these Christians that he's writing to. And yet he requests at the end of this letter before he signs off, he requests prayer from them before he closes. He says simply here in verse 18, pray for us. It's the first time that he involves himself in this manner. Pray for us. And I feel like the Holy Spirit just said to me in preparing for you how important it was that I just hit with you the importance of prayer. Prayer, right? I mean, especially right now. I don't even know if I have to really develop that thought. If you're paying attention at all to the world around us, if you're watching even just a smidgen bit, tiniest little bit of news, I mean, you can't even catch the weather on the local channel without some type of story of devastation, story of controversy, hatred, animosity. Our nation is divided. Our nation is, from the human eyes, our nation is crumbling. It's falling apart. Again, I don't think that this takes a rocket scientist to watch and evaluate, to analyze, and then say to everybody, oh, this is what's going on. Oh, geez, I didn't know. It's very problematic right now in our world. We've got a lot going on. And in the midst of all of this, God from eternity past saw you and I in first service, Labor Day weekend, 2020, and he lined us up in his word. No curriculum, no outline of studies. I see some pastors say, for the next 17 weeks, we're going to be in this study. I don't know how they know. I stop and go when the Holy Spirit tells me. I can't do it that way. I mean, I was ready to finish this benediction with you this morning. The Holy Spirit says, stop. The church needs to hear, and this is before the weekend's activities. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit tells me early in the week, they need to hear the importance of prayer. We got to talk about prayer. It's a Christian's punch list. Are you a prayer warrior? Do you pray? Do you pray? You don't have to answer me. I just want to make this message base and simple. I want to say this morning, move through these things internally. Take self-examination as I do too. I'll confess before I even develop that question anymore that prayer is a severe struggle in my life. To really actually pray, to shut like my mind. You know how Jesus said in Matthew 6, go to your father who's in secret, go into that secret place and shut the door? I don't think that's just physically, I think it's mentally. Shut the door. Shut the door to thoughts that would distract you. Shut the door to whatever it would be, like maybe your phone, your gadget, your computer. Shut the door, shut the tablet, shut the phone, right? And hone in on the conversation. That's what prayer is if you're taking notes this morning. It's simply a conversation with God. It's communication with God. If we make it anything more than that, we'll never get busy to do it. If we make it anything more than me simply talking to God as a child of God, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to study and understand what it is and never actually doing it. The only thing that you have to understand is in order for you to have direct access to God, in order for you to be able to communicate with God, it has to be solely through his son, Jesus Christ. So do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, then you have access to the Father. Romans 8 says that the Father of Jesus becomes your Father, which by now you cry, Abba, Daddy. You got that access to the Father in heaven, the creator of the universe, who happens to be now your daddy. That's pretty tremendous. You have the same spirit that Jesus has, and you are co-heir. Everything that is his is now yours. So prayer is, note takers, prayer is for those of you who are trying to understand Scripture. Prayer is for those of you who are trying to make sure that you're doing what God requires of thee. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. But to walk humbly with him, there's got to be communication. There's got to be talking. Now does prayer make you a Christian? Does talking to God or not talking to God determine whether or not you're saved? Of course not. We're saved by grace through faith. We know that, not works. But it's like a marriage. You could have a marriage and never talk to each other throughout the course of all the days that you spend together. You can never really enter into deep, intimate communication. You can sort of just coexist. And when you have children and life gets going, especially this time of year, it's very easy to sort of do that, become like roommates. You're still married. How deep and intimate your communication is doesn't determine whether or not you're actually an item, legally speaking. But the more that you communicate, the more that you intimately communicate exclusively as a husband and a wife, well, the stronger the bond and the affection and love that God desired for this institution to have. Amen? The sad thing is, as a pastor, as somebody who helps people with marriages often, is when only one of the spouses want that. And the other spouse is indifferent to the one who wants deeper intimacy. And so it is with the Lord, like it is with human relationships. He longs for fellowship. Fellowship is a Christianese term for relationship, conversation, intimacy. He longs for that, and he's going to give to us as much as we want back from him. As we press into him, James says he presses into us. He's eager, can I say that of God? He's eager to lean into intimacy with you. He is. But it's contingent upon how much you take on yourself implementing in your life this gift of prayer, communicating with him. I could preach till I'm blue in the face. You can amen me. You can stand up and clap and shout me down. You can praise the Lord all you want. But if you don't talk with God through your week, what type of intimacy can you claim that you actually have? So I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by this. I'm convicted by this. I'm seeking to deliberately learn to pray more. I'm with the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, God. You know, my spirit is willing, my flesh is weak. It's amazing how anything sounds better than praying when you go to pray. It's amazing how all of a sudden now you're thinking about your chore list. It's amazing how all of a sudden the dog, you know, needs attention, or your children are fighting or screaming, and you'd even rather go and deal with that and yell at them and scream at them, why are they screaming, than you would to be on your knees, on your face before the Lord. The writer here says, hey, we need you to pray for us. It's just number one, there's two things I'm going to highlight for you this morning. Number one, I just need you to pray for us. I need you to pray for me. Whoever he is here, he's got the humility to say to people who are carnal at times at best, please pray for me. And then he says, secondly, I need you to pray for me specifically, which is called intercession. I don't just want you to pray, and I don't want you just to pray for me. I want you to pray for me specifically, and that is that I can get to you. I got to get to you. I've got to get to where you are. In other words, there is this obvious telltale sign here in this verse that he's familiar with his audience and his audience is familiar with them and he longs to be back with them. And he says, I need you to pray that I can get to where you are, which tells me that the writer puts a heavy emphasis on the power of prayer. He actually believes that prayer works. He actually, can you imagine? He actually believes that prayer works. Remember in Acts chapter 12, when Peter's in jail and the church is gathered together and they're praying and praying and praying that the Lord would set Peter free, and Peter gets let out by angels. The Lord miraculously delivers him and spares his life, and he comes to the house prayer meeting and he knocks on the door and they slam the door in his face. They think he's a ghost. They can't believe, they don't even believe that it's Peter, the very man that they were praying to be set free. Prayer actually works. The writer here wants us to know that today. What did the pastor teach you at first service at Calvary Chapel? Oh, he taught us about prayer and he told us that prayer works. That's what you leave with today. It's very simplistic. What do you mean pray? He told us to talk to God. He told us to communicate with God. He told us that there are no geographical barriers that can hinder a person from reaching the throne of grace. There's nothing that can get in our way that would keep us from praying to the Lord. It's a gift from God. It's a talent. Don't bury it. Don't bury a talent that God Almighty has given you. It's a talent. It's a gift. And we are always a limiting factor. God is never. He'll always, always enlarge and deepen this personal relationship that we desire as we press in to him. So intercessory here. He's saying, please pray for me in this circumstance that God would move in such a way that I would be able to get to where you are physically. He demonstrates here his belief in the absolute effectiveness of other people's prayers, even if they're not super spiritual. It's wild. It's not limited to place or time prayer. Just in case anyone's thinking that, you might want to write some notes. I don't know your background. Some of you already know all this. You don't have to write anything down. Those of you, you're new. You always thought you had to be in a certain place. You always thought you had to be in a certain position. You always thought you had to have another person that you kind of go through to get to God. Nope, nope, nope. In Christ, you go right to the Father. You don't have to be in the sanctuary. You don't have to be at a meeting. You don't have to have a priest, a pastor. You go right to God, right on the construction site, right in the schoolroom, right on your walk in the neighborhood, in your shower. You can go right to God. There's no limit, place, time, nothing. Prayer is so powerful, it could affect human government and natural law. It's insane what prayer can do, and the writer believes it. He believes it so much, before he signs off, he says, pray for us. Let me do something. Let me strengthen you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. So I'm going to give you a ton of passages right now. Guys in the back, would you pull up Romans 15? If this is Paul, then this is consistent with Paul's pattern in other letters that he's written. Okay, whether it's Paul or not, though, this person still believes, like Paul, in these passages and the effectiveness of prayer. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you a bunch of passages where prayer is asked by the apostle. And the what he asked prayer for shows you how much he really believes and it's effective. Because I want you to take it home with you today. I want you to find your secret place throughout the week and move through the Christian's punch list here, part 5. Last but not least. And as you watch the news, as your kids go back to this hybrid system in school, as colleges are shutting down before they really even open, and others are seeking to open, as political tensions increase, as economic problems surround us, right? As we go all through all these things, I want you to have this oomph, this bounce in your spiritual step that I got a gift, I got a talent that God Almighty has given me that is foreign to the world out there, and it is the power of prayer, and I believe in it just like the apostles believed in it. If they put such an emphasis upon it, I do too. Prayer changes things. Natural law, human government, prayer changes things. Go read the book of Daniel. Go read the prophets. Prayer changes things. Prayer, I don't understand how it works. I believe that God is sovereign. It's important that you understand the attributes of the God that you raise your hands to. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything, including Satan. Satan is his servant. He's sovereign. But somehow he asked us to ask. Write it down. He asked us to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. He asked us to ask. He wants us to come boldly into his presence and ask of him. And somehow our prayers, our little tiny itty-bitty prayers that rise up like incense into his nostrils. Revelation chapter 5 tells us. Like incense, they ascend into heaven. We pray in Spencerport, they arise. They arise out of the state of New York, out of the country of America, and they go right into the nostrils of God Almighty. They arise, and somehow he cooperates with our asking. Somehow he cooperates with our asking. Somehow he takes us praying for our president. Somehow he takes us praying for Israel. Somehow he takes our praying for the nations around the world. Somehow he takes our praying and he cooperates with it. In his sovereignty, he cooperates with it and he moves things in a way that only he can move. You believe in physical laws. You believe in gravity, don't you? Electromagnetism, you believe in those things, don't you? Those are physical things. Well, this is a spiritual principle. The writer says, pray for us. If you pray, I'm going to come to you. I believe it. That's how powerful prayer is. If you pray, I'm going to come to you. Now watch this, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. I beg you, brethren, there it is again, not for money, not for a new jet. He says, but rather this, I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Would you go to the next verse? Verse 31, that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Keep going. Next verse. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I believe, those of you in Rome, that your prayers are so powerful. If you start praying, God's going to deliver me from where I am, make me effective to where I'm going, and we're all going to be joyful together. I believe that, he says. He says, I believe that your prayers are so powerful, that God will literally save souls through my life because of your prayers. That God will literally deliver me from where I'm not being received. And he'll move me on. Do you know how hard it is to be delivered from where you're not being received? I mean, I could break down every passage and take 6 hours with you on this sermon. Do you know how hard it is if I preach right now to a wall and none of you give me anything back, you just sit there with a scowl? No amens, no Bibles open, I'm not being received. Do you know how hard it is for a pastor to be delivered from people who don't receive? There are over thousands of pastors that quit the ministry a month in the United States of America. You know how hard it is? You know how much the devil's in my ear as I'm preaching even right now? Maybe not the devil, he's not omnipresent. I'm sure he's not concerned with me, but some lowly minion, demon of his, maybe in my ear saying to me, you're not effective. Don't even come back out second service. Look at these people, they don't care what you're saying. Pack it up and go home. Do you know how hard it is if it weren't for a few of you in the seats that are kind of cheering me on to keep me moving through this message? It's not carnal. Spurgeon said, the pastor's only as good as the congregation. You know how hard it is to do this? If it's only rejection, for me to be delivered from a congregation of rejection to go on to where there would be fruit, that takes a spiritual moving of God's working within me. The writer's saying here, listen, I need to get delivered by God from where I'm being rejected so I can go to God where God wants me to be so I can be accepted. How is it going to happen, Pastor? What are you going to do? You're going to come up with a new sermon? You're going to learn how to speak more eloquently? You're going to learn how to enunciate and change your tone and give illustration, example, and open windows in your preaching? Nope, I'm going to ask for prayer. That's crazy. That's crazy. I hope you're strengthened this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please, verses 8 through 11. Watch this. For we would not, he says, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Watch what he says here, above strength. Next verse, please. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Hang on one second. We're ready to die. Church in Corinth, anybody know about the church in Corinth? Oh my gosh, they were so messed up. They probably are, this is the church that probably parallels America more than any other church that I can think of off the top of my head right now that's being written to. He goes like this, though, even still, you're still brothers, you're still sisters, you might struggle, you might be in sin at times. He goes like this, though, but listen, I'm going through something right now where there were situations in my life where I was ready to die. And have you ever heard a Christian tell another Christian that they can't be depressed or they're not saved? Paul says he's ready to die. He's ready to despair of life, but what happened? Well, next verse. An angel came from heaven and said, I've got a major call on your life through the name of Jesus. No, that's not what happened. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God that raises the dead. Next verse, he says this, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Verse 11, watch this. You also helping together. How? How did you help? By, he says, prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Thank you so much for praying, because I was ready to die. Thank you so much for praying, because this is how bad things were getting in our ministry. From a physical, human standpoint, we're all made of the same flesh. We're all men and women of like persons. There are no super saints. There are no superheroes in Christianity where they are not subject to temptations and afflictions and difficulties. He's like, man, things were bad. And the game changer was your prayers. Wild. Philippians chapter 1, please, verse 19. Because, like, you know, here's the thing, expositional consistency. Here's the thing, right? Well, he only said that a couple of times. I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill. No, I'm not. Watch how many New Testament scriptures I give you right now for this theme. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Hang on a minute. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How simplistic is that? I know that salvation is going to be had because of your prayers. Ephesians chapter 6. Actually, I skipped one. Philemon. There's only one chapter, so verse 22, please. Philemon. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I'm going to get to you just because of your praying. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always, church, in Ephesus. Please, don't stop praying. Pray always. The writer in Hebrews 13 says, hey, would you pray for me? The response should be, we're always praying, Pastor. We don't really ever say amen because it's always open. The sentence has never got a period. We're always praying. Praying always, he says, with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Next verse, please. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me. I need you to pray for me. The utterance may be given unto me. Another reason word, that I might open my mouth boldly so that I can make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. I'm in jail. This is not an easy thing here. That therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. How does a pastor speak boldly to a hostile, Christ-rejecting world? Did you ever think about this? I have a lot of people come up to me after a service and say, hey, pastor, keep preaching bold. Hey, pastor, we really like what you did a few weeks ago. You really kind of, you went for it. Hey, pastor, we want you never to back down. We want to make sure that you're staying faithful to the name of Jesus and the word of God. Well, you do me a favor right now. Connect some dots. How anti-Christ is this world right now? It's severely anti-Christ. How anti-Bible has this world become right now? It's severely anti-Bible. Okay, so we got to disconnect. You want me as a natural man, as a father, as a husband, who has a million other things just like all of you do. You want me or whoever it is that's in my stead to do these very things that are supernatural and spiritual. When everything that is physical and natural is coming against it, the only way that that's going to happen, it's not I have to study more. It's not I need to pray in tongues. It's not that I need to get another commentary that will give me something fresh and new. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. There's really only one way, prayer. It's the prayer of God's people. I don't understand it all. I'm not pretending to. I just know that this is a talent, a gift from God that he has given to the church. And when he comes again from that far country, as Matthew puts it, when he comes again from glory and he receives us, what will your response be when he says, what did you do with prayer? This person, Paul here, is a fanatic about prayer. He don't leave anybody, he never asks for anything. But he seems to always ask for this one thing spiritually. Please pray for me. My ministry is contingent upon your prayers. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, a few more here, and then I'll bring this message full circle. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving, verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us, please pray, that God would open unto us, which means something's not open. You see it? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Verse 4. That I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. I got to do this. God has shown me to do this. Please pray that I can do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. It will be the easiest one I give for today. Brethren, pray for us. And then last but not least, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, when we can no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Verse 2. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you. These are big things. To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 3. He says, do I not have a verse 3 on this? I don't need verse 3. That's it. Can you go back to verse 1 real quick? I want to read that one more time. Is verse 1 gone? It's okay if it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Did I mess up something here? It's stuck. Well, whatever. You see the point here. Big things, little things, all things. Here's something I want to point out to you. Please let me have your attention for the closing moments. There are certain things in our lives, before we move from this, there are certain things in our lives that are just us and Jesus personally. There are certain things in our lives where I don't come to the pulpit and say, hey, can you pray for this, 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 and this? They're private. Those are me and Jesus, and so it is for you. There are certain things, probably most things, that's the way it is. It's you and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. But then there are other things that if others don't join us in the battle and get in the game with us in prayer, we won't make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to get to the other side of whatever it is. Because, listen, this is what Christian, it's interdependent. God has designed the church. This is his institution. He set it up that way, where we need people. We need a few people in our lives that, number one, we know pray. And number two, we know will pray specifically for us about whatever it is that we've got going on. Big things, little things, all things. Amen? We need that. We need that. We need to know that there are people in our church. That's why the church needs to be healthy. You understand? That's why in other sermons I talk about schisms and gossip and slandering and carnality and sin. In fact, the writer says here, back in Hebrews 13, he says the way that I'm going to assist my intercessors here is by living a holy life. I don't know if you caught that because I'm giving you so much right now, but listen to what I'm saying to you. After he says, please pray for me, he goes like this. We have a good conscience in all things. In other words, there's nothing that our conscience is telling us of guilt concerning willful sin. There's not any areas of my life where I'm deliberately walking in hypocrisy. I'm not seeking to have any of that going on. I'm doing my very best to be upright before the Lord so that God doesn't have to waste his time chastising me and dealing with me, and we can get right to the heart of the matter of intercession. So how can I assist my intercessors? How can you assist your intercessors? By being holy, by having a pure conscience. I can't come up to you guys after service and say, hey, ladies in the back with the blue, do me a favor. I've been living a hell of a life all week long, but would you do me a favor? And I don't really intend to change, but I need you to pray that God would fix my marriage here, because, I mean, if God fixes my marriage, then I'll really be able to get my eyes fixed on Jesus. But in the meantime, I'm going to go mingle in sin. I can't really do that. Because if I'm in willful, deliberate sin, now, first things first, God chastises those who he loves. Now he's got to correct me, and he's got to deal with me. So if I want to speed up the process, if you would, if I want to assist the intercessory that's going on in my life, I have a responsibility to be upright and to be holy. And we all need prayer. The culture is like, I'm good, I'm good. Well, it was that way. It was that way. Up till recent, it was that way, in the sense of where it's a thing of, like, we don't want anybody to know of our weakness. You know what I'm talking about? There was this, like, pride, this, you know, there was that in our culture. And some of us maybe still kind of bear that. And the Holy Spirit's calling us this morning, if the apostle would ask for prayer, that we would ask for prayer. That we would ask for prayer. So if you're here today and you say, well, geez, I'm new. I don't have a lot of Christian friends. I don't really know a lot of people. Who can I have pray for me? The leadership here. You need prayer. There's something specific going on in your life. Apart from a move of the supernatural, nothing's going to get fixed. Nothing's going to get done. You call the church office and you leave your information as you want to leave it. And the staff here, several of us, the Bible says if two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. Every morning we commit these things to prayer. We'll pray for you. And then we're going to watch God move. We're going to watch because we need him to increase our faith. We're living in days right now where our faith could be easily shaken. Christians, be careful. You might start to think maybe he isn't coming for us. Maybe we will have to go through the tribulation. What is another name for the tribulation? Jacob's trouble. God dealing with Israel because of their rejection of his provision of salvation, Jesus Christ. What does the book of Revelation say when these judgments come? It's to the earth dwellers who are Christ rejectors. We can get so discouraged, so worked up, so overwhelmed, where we start to say, we can panic. This has to be the end. This has got to be the last. It must be what it is. And we can get so frantic, we could talk ourselves into it. My wife and I took our kids kayaking the other day. And the older two girls went in their own kayak. And I'm with my son, and she's with our little one. And we're kind of going. And the wind was kicking, and we were kind of blowing ahead of them. And me and Char were way ahead of them for a little bit there. And I could hear in the backdrop my two older ones sort of panicking in the beginning till they got the rhythm down. And it's crazy. If you panic too much, you could drown in a swamp. If you panic too, I mean, listen, get your bearings, girls. It's only a few feet deep. You're going to tip yourself. You don't have to tip yourself, but you're going to tip yourself if you keep turning and moving. And just get your flow. Get your flow. Keep that stride going. Don't stop striding, because the more that you do that, then the more that you're going to blow around and be tossed to and fro. Don't stop striding. Don't stop walking with your God. Don't stop talking with your God. Don't stop increasing your faith by the hearing of the word. Trust that you have this gift. You got this power in prayer. Talk to him about everything that's concerning. More can get done in prayer than protesting. More can get done in prayer than posting. More can get done in prayer on our knees, okay? On our knees. More can get done in prayer. We want to see change. We want to see healing. We want to see unity. We want to see revival. It's got to be a move of God's Spirit. But can I tell you something? It's got to get worse before it gets better. So don't lose your faith if things don't go how you see it. Just trust the Lord. Listen, what is prayer for? Not my will to be done in heaven, but for heaven's will to be done on earth. We want to be faithful to intercede. The Lord gave me something this morning in my closing. Worship team, you can come. The Lord gave me something this morning of a very practical way of how we can be faithful to pray for others. That's a point that I want to hit before I close. It's important that we all pray. It's important that we have people praying for us. But what about when it's our turn to pray for others? What if somebody comes to you, because I want us to grow as a church. I want there to be a spiritual maturity. What if somebody comes to you after the service and say, man, I needed that today. I got some stuff going on, and it's heavy, and I don't really want to get into it right now. There's too many people around. So just do me a favor. Would you commit to praying for me this week? What's a good way? What moves you through praying for somebody? And the Lord gave me the Lord's Prayer. All the personal pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are in the plural. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give Joe this day his daily bread. Lord, give. There's these seven things as you move through the Lord's Prayer, prayers of petitions. But instead of give me this day, because it's in the language, it's give us. So, Lord, so that I can pray for Anthony today, it's give Anthony this day his daily bread. Give him his sustenance. Give him the provision. Watch how everything gets covered now. I don't even need to know the specifics. Lord, give him the finances. He's got a lot of kids, God. Make a way for him, God. Give him his spiritual daily bread. so that he can be sustained by your presence. Give him this day his daily bread, and lead him not into temptation, Lord, but deliver him from evil, right? I mean, you pray through that prayer, and you take the person's name that came to you for prayer, and you pray for them, and the Holy Spirit starts to open it to you. He starts to give you discernment. Maybe that's all that he wanted you to pray for, the daily bread portion, and it will cover what their needs are. The Holy Spirit that's in him is the Holy Spirit that's in me. So the Holy Spirit doesn't have to tell me anything more than this is the subject matter that you need to pray for, and he's getting covered by me over here. He can be over in Brockport working, and I could be on the east side at a conference, but listen, prayer's not limited by my geographical location. We don't got to be in the same room together. I can cover him in a different town. But what's crazy is we got people in Switzerland that watch us every week. She can write in after this sermon and say, Pastor, I need prayer in Switzerland. This is what I got going on with my daughters. This is what I got going on with my husband. Would you pray? And I don't have to say, hang on a minute, I got to get a flight over to where you are. That's going to take a little bit. I got to see if we can come up with the finances. I can stop, hang up the phone, go to my secret place, meet my Father that's in heaven, shut the door, meet with him, and pray. I could have this effectiveness for her in Switzerland right here in Spencerport. You see what I'm saying? There's a power here. I love it how Spurgeon says it. He says that our prayers link us with the omnipotence of God. Isn't that good? The omnipotence, the almighty power of God. Our prayers link us to that. So God, we pray that on that note, as we close this service, as we close this portion of study of the Christian's punch list, that you would make intercessors out of us, Lord. Prayer warriors, God, that we would believe in the power of prayer. And that, Lord, we would be men and women who always pray and not faint. And it's in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory, that we pray these things. We pray for healing for our nation. Lord, we pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray for wisdom for our president, for our governor, for our mayor, for our senators, for our congressmen, for our congresswomen. God, we pray for protection of our law enforcement. We thank you for them. Lord, we pray for healing for those whose hearts are wounded and broken. We pray for those who are misguided. We pray for those who are misdirected and lost. We pray that they would be found. We believe that the answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would reach these people who are desperate for you in a way, God, that only you can reach them. Please, God, do something in Rochester that mirrors what you did in the days of Finney. God, would you please pour out your spirit upon our city? Would you please pour out your spirit on the surrounding suburbs? Would you please, Lord, give power and unction to the ministers of the gospel in the pulpits this morning of all the surrounding churches? Lord, that your word would go forth and people's hearts would be soft and receive, Lord, and believe the truths that are found in your word. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks is given to our God and our King. And it's in the name of Jesus that everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship him.